Good morning, everybody. I'm very excited to share on Romans chapter 5 because I feel like this is one of the best chapters in Romans. Romans is such a great book. I wanted to just start by saying, you know, a couple of years ago, the Lord started to just, this is how he speaks to me. He gives me these little catchphrases and I just mull over them for months and months and sometimes years. And this is one of those that I'm still mulling over. But he gave me this little catchphrase and he said to me one day, he said, you know, the gospel is way bigger than you thought it was. And I want you to just turn to the person next to you and say, the gospel is actually much bigger than what I think it is. So what I want you to think about today is I think we have these religious ideas about what the gospel is all about, but the gospel message is enormous. It's so huge, and it's so much bigger than we are willing to make space for it or to believe that it is. And so I love Romans chapter 5 because it gets into that. Okay, I'm a little bit... I'm going to do a whole lot of different things that are a little bit out of my comfort zone. Okay, now I've got a lovely, I've got my beautiful friend Erin, who I just love. I love her spirit, and she's one of my champions that encourages me daily. And I've asked her if she'll come and read the passage of Romans chapter 5 as we start, and then I'll unpack some things in it.
Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth from within us as we keep on celebrating our hope in experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character. Our proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Now, would anyone dare to die for the sake of a wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us, dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there is so much more to say of his unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, "You are now righteous in my sight." And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God. So if, while we are still enemies of God, God fully reconciled us to himself through the death of his Son, then something greater than friendship is ours. Now that we are at peace with God, and because we share in the resurrection life, how much more will we be rescued from sin's dominion? And even more than that, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship in living reconciled with God, all because of Jesus Christ. When Adam sinned, the entire world was affected. Sin entered human experience and death was the result. And so death followed this sin, casting its shadow over all humanity, because all have sinned. Sin was in the world before Moses gave the written law, but it was not charged against them where no law existed. Yet death reigned as king from Adam to Moses, even through they hadn't broken a command the way Adam had. The first man, Adam, was a picture of the Messiah who was to come. And now there is no comparison between Adam's transgression and the gracious gift that we experience, for the magnitude of the gift far outweighs the crime. It's true that many died because of one man's transgression, but now how much greater will God's grace and his gracious gift of acceptance overflow to many because of what one man, Jesus, the Messiah, did for us. And this, the free-flowing gift, imparts to us much more than what was given to us through the one who sinned. For because of the one's transgression, we are all facing a death sentence with a verdict of guilty. But the gracious gift leaves us free from our many failures and brings us into the perfect righteousness of God, acquitted with the word, not guilty. Death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in this life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and holy Jesus the Messiah. In other words, just as condemnation came upon the people through one transgression, so through the righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes right with God and leads us to victorious life is now available to all. One man's disobedience opened the door for humanity to become sinners. So also, one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him. So then, the law was introduced into God's plan to bring the reality of human sinfulness out of hiding. And yet, whenever sin increased, there was more than enough of God's grace to triumph all the more. And just as sin reigned through death, so also the sin-conquering grace will reign as king through righteousness, imparting eternal life through Jesus, our Lord and Messiah.
Okay, there's so much in there. I just want to do a little summary. In my head, this is what I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to highlight out of this passage, is that firstly, this passage is so densely rich with just all the benefits that are ours through what Jesus did. And when you start to like unpick them slowly, one by one, which I'm going to do just now with my lovely prop, it is amazing how much just this one chapter tells us is ours. And the other thing that happens in this chapter is that he contrasts what happened with Adam and what happened with Christ. And so I've got this lovely friend at school who's a science teacher, and I am not a science teacher, so I might need you to come hold my mic for me, darling. Yeah, you're a good mic stand. Okay, so in the beginning, God created the world, and this is humanity. So this is how we looked. This was the whole of creation. And we looked beautiful and perfect. And then, sadly, sin came in and tainted the perfect picture that God originally designed. So here it is. It's been tainted. I could probably put more in. More in, since there's so much. Should have bought a stirrer. Okay, and as Erin was reading that passage, I don't know if you picked up, but the result of sin is actually that death came in. And so death started to reign over everything that God had made that was once perfect. And then, through the second Adam, Jesus, he came and once and for all sorted that out. And so his blood was more than enough to fix all the messes that humanity had made and once and for all cleanse humanity and restore us, not just back to our original design. So there we go. There's our purified water. Thank you to my science friend. But not just back to our original design, but there's so much more and this is what Paul is trying to unpack for us. So he talks about how sin is this little thing that came into humanity through one man's blunder. I don't know if you picked that up. The way it phrases it there is beautiful. Through one man's blunder, the whole of humanity fell. So there's the blunder. But the magnitude of the gift of Jesus is so far outweighs the size of the blunder. So I try to find two different size boxes so you just get it in your head that Jesus' gift isn't just an equal opposite that cancels this out. it is way much, way, way, way more, and there's so much in it. So I'm going to unpack some of those things and just wade through that text again with you. But these are just some, every word in here I'm going to put on. So if Mark was tainted by sin originally, there he is, okay, you can be untainted. The gift of righteousness, perfect righteousness, makes him absolutely clean and pure again. So I just want to go to my first slide. There's Jesus inviting us to accept his free gift, which is a free gift. But I just want to read Romans chapter 1 out of the Mirror Bible. I was just meditating on this passage in a whole lot of different translations, but listen to this in the Mirror Bible. It says, righteousness by faith realized, so we've got to wake up and realize it, means unlimited friendship with God. This is the ultimate conclusion of the gospel. Jesus Christ is the legal authority of our testimony. And here it is in the Passion. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. We now enjoy lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. And I love the Message version of this. By entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him, we have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And that's not all. We throw open our doors to God and discover at the same moment that he has already thrown open his door to us. We find ourselves standing where we always hoped we might stand, out in the wide open spaces of God's grace and glory, standing tall and shouting our praise. And that word realized means to understand or to notice something, to make a goal or a dream actually happen if we realize it, to convert an investment into profit. So we've got in our bank account all of this just from Romans chapter 5. If we had to wade through the word and just start racking up all the things God has done for us, I think we'd just be so gobsmacked. And I think, you know, the Lord is wanting us to be believing believers. He's wanting us to actually start saying, yes, that's true. And I felt this morning when I was just praying about this message that if God wanted you to walk away with one thing, it was your royal identity. I feel like he wants to restore our, he always wants to make us dignified and restore us to our original estate, which is perfectly righteous with him, perfectly one with him. And so I just want to start unpacking the scripture slowly. And I'm going to, I don't know how I'm going to do this with all these hands. You're going to be my mic. Is that okay? So you don't have sin on you anymore. Really happy he wore a white shirt this morning. Yes, he's going to be my mic stand and he's going to be my righteousness, okay? So, you know, the Bible actually says that, like on the Mount of Transfiguration, I love this description. There's a description there that says Jesus was transfigured in front of the disciples and his garments were glowing so white that it was whiter than any kind of washing powder could ever wash his clothes. So this is a bit of a like a dull version of what our righteous garments are going to be like. But he has made us perfectly righteous, and our righteous garments are incredibly beautiful. Okay, the next thing that was in verse 1. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless. In his eyes, this means he doesn't see any sin. So if you look at yourself and you feel like you're just not good enough, that's not how God sees you. He sees you as flawless. There's no fault in you. That's mind-blowing. Just that is mind-blowing. So we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God. Good. Thank you. Book stand as well. Such a handy husband, this. Have true, I love how it puts it there, lasting peace. You know, you can have peace for a moment. This is lasting peace. Okay, and this is possibly one of my favorite ones of all. I just love this. This just blows me out the water. Our faith guarantees us permanent access. That is amazing. Like, we couldn't get in to see the Queen of England if we wanted to. We have permanent access with God anytime we want, any time of day, any day of the week, 24/7, no matter what state we're in, we have permanent access. So there we are. Into his marvelous kindness. And he's now given us a perfect relationship with God. So if some of you feel like, you know, maybe your relationship isn't perfect with God, that is not true. That's not what we got through salvation. We got a perfect relationship with him. What incredible joy bursts forth inside us as we celebrate our hope of experiencing glory. I cannot tell you how joyful I feel when I think about God's goodness, when I think about what he's done for us, when I think that I'm loved and beloved by him. And this was one of the main words God actually highlighted to me while I was been meditating on this, this word glory. God highlighted this idea of glory to me, and I'll come back to it at the end, because, you know, Jesus actually gave us his glory. In John chapter 17, he prays and he says, Father, I give them the same glory you've given me. We actually meant to be glorious. And this is something that is quite offensive to our religious mindsets, but we actually meant to carry the same glory that Jesus carries. So think about this one and go, I'm going to get my head around that. Tell the person next to you, I'm glorious. Okay, that's good. That's really good. Even in times of, I love this, he just throws in this little bit and he says, even when life's not going so good, even in times where there's battles and we have a hard time, he says, oh, we can have joyful confidence, knowing that our character is being perfected as we go through this. So we're getting a perfected character and we can be confident. I love that. God's working on our character. It's beautiful. Knowing that our pressures are going to develop in us, patience, endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character, and character leads back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because the love of God cascades into our hearts. And I just want to show you this picture of the love of God cascading. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Like, if you've ever looked at a magnificent waterfall and thought about how fabulous it is and where that water comes from and how it never runs out, how it just keeps going, that's the love of God for you. Not for the person sitting next to you, for you. You are under that waterfall of his cascading love. Okay. For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate his love for sinners who were entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. I love, this is probably one of my favorite verses in Romans. While we were yet sinners, God died for us. He wasn't put off by the state that we were in or by the fact that we were less than perfect, because he knew what this righteous gift was going to purchase for us. Okay. So Christ proved his passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there's still much more to say about his unfailing love. And then he says, if while we were still enemies, God fully reconciled us to himself through the death of his son, then something much greater than friendship is ours. So we are fully reconciled and we have friendship. And we get to have something even, we get to have a friendship with the Most High, the God of the universe, the God who created everything. But he is, I love that he's the God of friendship, that his desire has always been to be walking with us, to be our friends. So now that we are at peace with God, because we share in his resurrection life. Now, this is another mind-blowing thing. He's actually made us sharers of resurrection life. Just think about what that means in your bodies. How much more will we be rescued from sin's dominion or sin's control over our lives. We're actually rescued from coming under that constant struggle with sin. That's one of the things that we get in our new salvation or our gospel plan. That's incredible. So we come out from under sin's dominion. And even more than that, we overflow with triumphant joy in our new relationship of living reconciled to Christ. And I had joy in verse 1, so I didn't make a new joy sticker. Okay, so let's go back to Adam and God. In the beginning, Adam sinned and the entire world was affected. Sin entered the human experience and death was the result. And so the shadow of death followed sin. But Jesus declared us not guilty. I love this. The sin debt has actually been paid in full. So if you've ever seen a paid in full stamp on something, it's very exciting, especially when it's your mortgage or something that you've like really been working towards paying for a long time. Every debt of sin has been paid in full for all of humanity. That whole God redeemed all of it. I love that scripture. God was in Christ reconciling the whole world. So who does that include? The whole world. That's everybody. That's everything. It's all been reconciled back to him. Sin was in the world before Moses gave the written command. Now, there's no comparison between Adam's transgression and the gracious gift of God that we received. So you can see the magnitude. I love that idea of the magnitude of the gift. And I found this little visual that I just want to show you. So this is like through the one man's sin, death reigned and came in, but then through the one man's action, he justified the whole world, and it's a free gift, and this free gift gives us eternal life and all sorts of things. Okay, we're free of failures. So the gift, many died because of one man's transgression, but how much greater will God's grace and gracious gift of acceptance overflow to us because of what the one man, Jesus the Messiah, did for us. And this free-flowing gift imparts to us much more than what was given through the one who sinned. This gracious gift leaves us free from our many failures. So we're free of failures, we are not guilty, and brings us into perfect righteousness with God, acquitted with the words "not guilty." Death once held us in its grip by the blunder of one man. Death reigned over as king over humanity. But now, I love it when the Bible says "but now" because it means things have changed. How much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life? Now, this is this is what God keeps bringing back to me, that he just wants us to start seeing who we really are. And I've got this dress-up drawer at home for all my grandchildren, and in it there was a crown. So I didn't have a nice regal garment to put on Mark, but I thought I'll put my wonky crown on him. But he wants us to so carry his glory and that we are regal, that we are royal. Like this is mind-blowing stuff to our religious preconceived ideas of what the gospel was. And the longer I know God, the more I realize, oh, the gospel's better than I thought. It's better than I thought. It's way bigger than I thought. There's way more to it than I believed. And I'm keeping on learning what more and more and more there is, because there's just no end to him. His limitless kindness and his limitless grace is just so beautiful. Through the righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God leads us to a victorious life. This is God's plan for us. We're supposed to have a victorious life. We are not supposed to have a hard time. So there's another label there that says victorious life. It is now available to all. And this is what the word says. It's available to all. So who is a victorious life available to? All. Does that mean you? Yes. Okay, one man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners, but one man's obedience, thank you, Jesus, opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him. So then the law was introduced into God's plan to bring the reality of human sinfulness out of hiding. And I was thinking about Moses and the law and how when we have laws in our country, it just is a constant reminder that we just don't get it right. Because I try really hard to keep to the speed limit after I once got a horrific speeding fine. And so I always try and go to the limit, but you're not looking for a second and then you're over. So now you've broken the law, you've fallen short. And so we just, like in our own strength, we can, no matter how much we want to or we try to, we cannot keep the law. And so this is not based on us keeping the law. God's gift of salvation is completely separate from anything we've ever done, whatever we look like in our past life, all our blunders and failures. He doesn't see them. We're flawless. We can live free from failure all the time. God's grace is triumphs all the more. Where we sin, God's grace just triumphs more. I love that because I sin all the time and God's grace just covers it because he doesn't see that. And just as sin reigned through death, so also this sin-conquering grace will reign as king through righteousness, imparting eternal life through Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the last one is eternal life. And sorry, favor was the gracious gift that leads us free of all of our failures and everything else. And there are so many more things that I didn't even get into here. I made these little bookmarks in case you want to be reminded of just some of the things that, you know, like in this particular chapter, he doesn't even talk about healing and a myriad of other things. This is just part of the richness that is in this chapter. And so I just want to encourage you, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus. Just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now, God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life. And I just wanted to finish off with by jumping back to verse 17, which says this, but now how much more are we held in the grip of grace, not in the grip of sin. And lots of us think that that's how we live, and it's not true. We are held in the grip of grace, and we continue reigning as kings in life. And so I just felt like this is the picture the Lord wanted you to walk out with this morning. You know, I love the way that particular, I think this one also comes out of the mirror. But now we are held in the grip of grace, continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. And regal freedom combines that word regal, meaning fit for a king or a queen, and freedom, the power to act and speak as one wants. Together it describes a grand, noble, untethered state of liberty, an inner sovereignty, when a person feels completely empowered, dignified, and self-governing. And this is what the Lord wants us to realize, is that he has so dignified us. He has so transformed our prior estate to something that we haven't even begun to get our minds around. So I just, in closing, I just want to pray over you that that the Holy Spirit will just begin to not just print these words on your visuals, but actually, like, sometimes the Lord's just shown me that he actually engraves and tattoos things all over us. Like, I've sometimes seen inside people and I just see these gold tattoos that are imprinted and encoded and embedded into the very fabric of who they are. And I actually cannot wait to see all my tattoos when I get to heaven, because I know I have lots. But I'm just going to pray that God will tattoo some of these truths onto the inside person of who you are. So, Father, I just thank you for this incredible, radical gift of grace that you've given us. Thank you, Father, that you have so redeemed and restored our estate, that where Adam fell and blundered and made humanity lose their former estate with you, you have so restored that. And not just equally, but the gifts you've given us, the gift of Christ, so far outweighs the magnitude of anything that came in with the fall of man. And I pray, Lord, that you would start to encode and embed these truths so deeply into our lives that we start to live it, that the body of Christ would rise up full of glory, with royal dignity, with crowns on their heads, knowing that their garments are righteous, that you see them as flawless, that they are fully restored, that they can walk in unbroken fellowship with you, that they are friends, personal, intimate friends with full access to you every time they want it. Lord, thank you for all your gifts. Thank you for joy unspeakable. Thank you, Lord, for the peace you give us, the hope you give us. Thank you that even in trials, you're just building character and you're building confidence in who you are. And so, Lord, I thank you that today we would just be able to rise up and remember what Sue was talking about that activator in the sourdough, the living hope that lives inside us, that these words that are in this passage of Romans 5, that they would be burned and embedded and encoded into us. Lord, that it would become part of our identity. And we just welcome you, Holy Spirit, to so transform our identity, transform who we are, how we see ourselves until it starts to line up with what you see. We thank you that the mature sons of God are starting to rise up all around the earth. Thank you that we're shaking the grave clothes off, that we're shaking the dust off, that we're shaking those scales that have been over our eyes. So we just thank you, Lord, that that you just so bring truth to us today. Amen.